Chapter 6.
Squad Palandris reports no signs of pursuit by the Death Guard, said Demetris.
He and Keratreus stood on the steps of the ruined cathedrum, staring out into the rain-slick ruins. Their brothers maintained a perimeter, intercessors and hellblasters standing guard while the wounded were seen to, and Techmarine Tyvos repaired the Strike Force's remaining repulsor battle tanks.
"That's the last squad to report in," replied the librarian. "The heretics chose not to drive home their attack."
"Perhaps they lack the proper zeal," said Demetris. "Between Shipmaster Aethor's bombardment and the storm raised by that Xenos witch, the traitors may have been put to flight."
"Perhaps, but the Death Guard pride themselves on their capacity to endure. I doubt we broke their nerve, brother."
"Whatever the case, the respite is welcome. Time for us to regroup and rearm, to focus ourselves and prepare for the next attack.
Time enough, also, to scout the lie of the land and attempt to coordinate more closely with our allies," said Keratreus. "Squads Marcus, Palandris, and Thaddeon make good progress."
"Have you had any success reaching the astropathic conclave inside the fortress?" asked Demetris, methodically checking over his plasma pistol's workings.
Keratreus shook his head in frustration.
"Nothing," he said. "The warp is agitated, and the presence of the Death Guard worsens things. But I ought to be able to sense something there. I have tried repeatedly to project my thoughts into their own, but it is as though they simply are not there."
"I know little of witchery. Does that mean they're dead? Do we fight for naught?"
"I don't know, brother. Perhaps, or maybe they have hidden their mind somehow, the better to survive the heretical forces beyond their walls. Until we gain entry to the astropathic fortress, I fear it will remain a mystery."
"Then let's hope the lieutenant emerges from his meditations soon," said Demetris. "I am keen to extract vengeance for those we lost today."
"As are we all, brother," agreed Keratreus. "But have a little patience. Cassian has much to think on, and he cannot risk another defeat."
"Every minute the foe remains unprosecuted risks defeat. If he does not emerge soon, I will rouse him myself. There's a war to be won."
Cassian was deep within the ruins of the cathedrum. He had found a small annex that remained untouched by the destruction. Its stained glass triptychs were intact, and its devotional candles stood in their mounts as though waiting for a priest to come and light them. Cassian had taken this as a sign and chosen to make his devotions here. The lieutenant's injured arm had been temporarily freed from its sheath of power armor. It was encased instead in a jellied medi compress that flooded the limb with hypernutrients and muscle stims to aid recovery. Ignoring the stinging discomfort, Cassian knelt unhelmed before the spread wings of a golden aquila. Duty's point was driven into the tile floor, and his forehead rested against its pommel. He had knelt like this now for over an hour, attempting to still his thoughts and meditate upon all that had occurred. At first, his mind had whirled with frustration and anger, his hatred for the traitors only marginally less than his disgust at himself.
Then there was the deep sense of disquiet that the Farseer's words had brought him.
Cassian was a Primaris Space Marine, one of Archmagos Kall's original warriors, who had stepped directly from stasis and taken up arms during the Ultima founding. Ingrained into every fibre of his being was a sense of purpose and duty, a certainty that his every thought and deed served the Imperium of mankind. It was, in a very literal sense, what he had been created for. That certainty had been shaken, first by his defeat at the hands of the Death Guard, then by the Aldari's intimation that he now walked their path. Cassian was unused to the idea that his fate lay in anyone's hands but the Emperor's. He found himself scrutinizing his every thought, deed, and utterance. Space Marines were not religious in the way that most Imperial servants were. They did not, as a rule, deify the Emperor, nor pray to him for direct intercession. Yet they were still deeply spiritual beings in their own way, venerating their primarchs and their emperor, and deriving strength from their examples. It was this that had allowed Cassian to finally calm his mind, to center his thoughts and slip into a meditative state, during which he had dissected every fragment of information he had gathered, analyzing it from every angle. Now Cassian's eyes opened, and he raised his head, an expression of fierce determination on his noble features. "Thank you, Emperor, for your guidance," he intoned. "Thank you, Primarch, for your clarity. I will not fail you again." Cassian rose and sheathed his blade. He flexed his wounded arm experimentally, nodding to himself as he felt re-knitted muscle tense and reset bone hold strong. "Sufficient," he said. "There is much to be done." An hour later, Cassian held his council of war within the lower narthex of the cathedrum. Rainwater dripped through shattered windows and fell from ragged holes in the ceiling high above. A foul mist drifted at ankle height, while plump flies meandered through the still air. Stained glass crunched underfoot as Cassian, Caratreus, Demetris, and their senior sergeants gathered. The two dreadnought battle brothers were also present, for they had fought since the earliest days of the Indomitus Crusade and had gained much strategic insight. The Cadian captain, Dzansk, completed the gathering, albeit as a grainy green ghost beamed from a hollow projector.
"Honoured warriors of the Imperium," began Cassian. "We have suffered at the hands of the heretic invaders, but that ends now. We are going to defeat them in the Emperor's name and see to it that every trace of their filth is cleansed from this world."
Several of his sergeants slammed their fists against their chest plates in salute, and Brother Marius rumbled a near subsonic,
"Hear, hear."
"We are with you, Lieutenant," said Caratreus. "But how?"
"The Emperor has gifted me with insight into the minds of our foes," said Cassian. "They worship a god of plagues and are empowered by his unclean gifts. I believe that their god, and by extension the Death Guard themselves, derive much of their power from sickness and misery, from entropy."
"Based on what, brother?" asked Demetris.
"Consider," said Cassian. "They bombarded the city before their initial landing. Why use a mixture of targeted ordnance and biophages? Why not just hammer Dustrius into ruin and move on? With so superior a force, it was strategically inefficient at best."
"The Astropathic Fortress, Brother Lieutenant," said Sergeant Gallen. "I would suggest that they want to capture the Astropaths and use them for their own purposes."
"Likely. But then they have overwhelming numbers. If they had wished to crush Imperial resistance here and claim their prize, they could have done so in a matter of hours, not weeks. I mean no disrespect to your brave fighting men and women, Captain Dzansk."
"No offence taken, my lord," said Dzansk in a static, furred voice. "We've been wondering the same thing since day one. It seems unlikely that the enemy commander is so incompetent as to have misjudged the comparative disposition of our forces. Our best guess was that he was waiting for something, perhaps for sickness to decimate our ranks."
"In a way, I believe that he was," said Cassian. "I believe our enemy is deliberately drawing this battle out. The Death Guard are causing as much misery and suffering as they possibly can, for by doing so, they best honour their god."
"A devotional offering," said Demetris in disgust. "They torment this planet and its populace as one might light candles in an imperial shrine."
"I fear that if you are correct, it may be worse still," said Caratreus. "I told you that the Empyrean feels agitated here."
"You did," said Cassian. "But is that not simply the aftermath of the warp storm that marooned us?"
"I thought so at first," said Caratreus. But if you are right about this, then the storm on high, the agitation in the warp, the silence of the astropaths, it could be the effect of our wider, ongoing ritual, signs that the Death Guard are making an offering to their god, and that it is being accepted.
You're talking about the summoning of demons, said Demetrius.
Perhaps, said Caratreus. Or some other foulness that sane minds cannot even guess at. Whatever the case, it seems logical that the astropaths would be the final offering, the heart's blood that seals the compact.
By the throne, said Aggressor Sergeant Temeter. If this is true, then the heretics are using this entire world as their sacrificial altar. The consequences of such a vast ritual would surely be disastrous.
Just so, said Cassian. You see now why we cannot continue to offer this enemy a battle of attrition. That is precisely the war they want. We must resolve this swiftly and decisively, and capture the astropathic fortress before they are able to make use of it.
I ask again, said Caratreus, how? Impetuosity has already failed us once. They outnumber us, even with Acadians added to our own forces. Our losses during the ambush were considerable, and even with the Primarch's sword to support us, I believe we will be hard-pressed to defeat this foe.
In a straight fight, that is true, agreed Cassian. But just as they are the twisted progeny of their Primarch, so we are the true sons of ours. We will outmaneuver them, find their weaknesses and exploit them. Their heretical faith compels them to behave in ways that seem like madness. They may be working to a plan that we cannot fully fathom, but they have also ignored strategic practicals that we will not.
Cassian felt a frisson of disquiet at how closely his own words echoed those of the Farseer, but he pressed on regardless.
Sergeant Marcus has identified one such strategic option, he said, turning to the Reaver Sergeant. Marcus nodded.
During our scouting sweep, we located a partial tunnel entrance at this location, he said, exloading coordinates to his comrade's Auspex maps. It lies amidst the ruins of a generatorum block, and presumably was opened by the enemy's initial bombardment.
Binaric interrogation of functioning cogitators within the generatorum complex revealed this as an entrance to Dustrius's Municipalis support grid. It's a backup power supply whose conduits run beneath the astropathic fortress.
Is it a route in, then? Asked Caratreus. If so, are we to assume that the enemy have simply overlooked it by chance?
To the first question, yes, we believe so, replied Marcus.
Data schematics suggest that an exit hatch could be used to emerge within the outer cloisters of the fortress. But to the second, no, the enemy have not overlooked it.
How can you be sure?
We eliminated a small herd of the plague mutants penned in a cordon around the entrance. We further disarmed a substantial quantity of tripwires linked to viral grenades and heard the groans of more of the creatures from the tunnel's mouth. They were not there by chance.
Then we are to believe they have simply ignored this route into the heart of the fortress, asked Demetrius doubtfully.
The tunnel confines would be tight, said Marcus. An unaugmented human could progress down them, or Primaris Marines in light combat armor, such as my Reaver squad. Anyone larger would struggle. The exit point would also be overlooked by servitor guns on both the outer and inner fortifications. Attrition amongst the initial attackers would be high.
All of which the Death Guard could have overcome with sufficient ingenuity and belligerence, said Cassian.
But I believe that doing so would have ended their war too soon. A virus that kills its host is inefficient and ultimately self-destructive. To thrive, it must allow its victim to live.
At least for as long as serves its needs, added Caratreus, nodding. So, how do we exploit this omission by our foes? We can hardly move the bulk of our forces through such a narrow conduit. True, said Cassian, but we can send Squad Marcus through it, and thus gain access to the fortress. The Reavers will link up with whatever garrison remains within. They will manually direct its guns and stand ready to support our strike for the gates.
It's to be another direct assault, then? Asked Demetris.
A coordinated strike, replied Cassian, with the intent of denying the enemy their prize and contacting the Crusades' forces. We cannot overcome this foe with our current strength, but nor can we leave them to complete whatever foul ritual they're attempting. Thus, if we cannot rejoin the Crusade as duty compels, we will bring the Crusade to us.
His comrades nodded. He saw hope in their eyes.
Captain Dzansk, said Cassian, are you ready to serve your Emperor?
Always, my lord. Cadia stands.
Very well. What I ask of you is no easy thing, Captain, but it must be thus. You will mobilize all your remaining forces and engage the Death Guard in a diversionary attack shortly before we launch our own assault. Draw them in, and tie up as much of their strength as you can.
That will cost us dear, my lord, said Dzansk. Many of my soldiers are sick or wounded. Our ammunition stocks are low. If the Death Guard respond in force, we will not endure their wrath for long.
I understand, said Cassian. While your forces engage the enemy, ours will move swiftly into position and secure the main fortress gate. Sergeant Marcus will already be inside, and he will open it to allow us access. We will then hold the gate for you for as long as we can before falling back within.
Yes, my lord.
Cassian heard something in the captain's voice. Doubt, perhaps, but victory here was too important. So long as the Cadians did their part in the Emperor's name, that was what truly mattered.
Caratreus, he said, what of the enemy's apparent invisibility to our auspex?
The storm continues to interfere, replied the librarian. And, in theory, they may be able to conceal themselves as they did before their ambush. But we have visual confirmation from our Inceptor squads as to enemy movements. After the ambush, the Death Guard appear to have tightened their cordon around the Astropathic Fortress.
Cassian nodded, then addressed Dzansk's hologram again.
Captain Dzansk, ready your forces to launch their attack at 1700 hours sidereal. Sergeant Marcus, you know your duty?
I do, Brother Lieutenant, said Marcus, with a salute.
Then ready yourselves, brothers. We go into battle again, and this time to victory or death.
Lord Gerlok stood amidst the ruins of the Mons Aquilus counting house and stared up the hill at the Astropathic Fortress. Another wave of groaning poxwalkers was stumbling towards it, falling rank by rank to the fortress's guns.
How soon until the Loyalists attack again?
Asked Thrax. Gerlok responded with a heavy shrug that sent foul fluids trickling down his armour.
We gave them a sound beating. For all that, they wounded us also. But the Emperor's lapdogs have never known when to admit defeat. I doubt they'll be dissuaded for long. Should we accelerate the attack? And spoil so fine a broth?
Asked Gerlok, in a tone of genuine surprise.
No, Thrax. Allowing these new arrivals to force our hand would waste all our hard work. The sorcerers assure me the Empyrean churns like a cauldron of poxes. Beyond the veil, our plague of misery is brewing nicely. Let the Loyalists come at us again and again. We have the numbers, the commanding ground, and the gifts of Nurgle and Mortarion both. We are Death Guard, Thrax. We will endure while they suffer and die.
And when the plague is ready?
Asked the biologist putrefier. Gerlok heard the relish in his gargling voice and knew that Thrax already knew the answer to his question. He just liked to hear it spoken aloud.
Why then, old friend, we will demonstrate the true generosity of Nurgle, he said. We will swat aside the paltry forces arrayed against us, claim the astropathic fortress for our own, and use its psychoamplific machineries as the vector for our wondrous new disease. We will disperse it through the ether like flies from a bursting corpse, like spores from fungus, like Nurgle's rot through a healthy body. We will beam our psychic contagion across the stars to every imperial world in this sector. We will raise an epidemic the like of which has not been seen in millennia.
And with it, we will praise Nurgle.
And with it, said Gerlok cheerily, we will earn Nurgle's praise.